Okay, thank you. So we're going to open our Bibles to the book of James. So I think, as Tim said before, so during the summer we are doing a series on the precious promises. And last week, Dave Parker told us about the promise of rest that we have in Christ. And this evening, we are going to think about the promise of wisdom. And this is what we're going to see in the book of James. So if you have a Bible, please open it to James chapter 1, which is on page 1213. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. Jim will bring you a Bible with a big smile on his face. He loves to bring Bible. Yes, there was one here, another one here. Oh, wow. Yes. And then I'm going to read from verse 1 to 12, but actually today we're going to focus on verse 5, but I'm going to just so we can have a bit of context. I'm going to give you read a bit more. So here we go. So James chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in a high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's what we're going to be thinking about. I'm just going to pray and then we're going to get going. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have given to us. Father, would you please use the preaching of your word tonight to teach every one of us, to change our lives? Would you please open our eyes and help us to listen well, and help us to not just listen and not do anything about our word. May your word change us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I was a university student, there was a lot of things I could receive, like discounts, help with job search, mentoring, or a lot of free stuff, but I never asked for most of it. And the reason, the bigger reason why I didn't ask for it, because I wasn't aware of it. And even the things that I was aware of, I didn't know what they were, and I didn't think that I needed those things. So it was very later on, like toward the end of my studies, that I realized that I could receive all of this discount, all this help, all this free stuff. And that is only until the end that I realized that those things were things that I actually needed. As Christians, God has promised that he will give us wisdom, that he will give wisdom to the people who ask him. And that's what we see in James here. So that's our verse here. So if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So God promises to give us wisdom if we ask him. And that's the question. Is wisdom something we ask God for? See, maybe you're just like me in my student days. Maybe you don't know that you can receive wisdom if you ask God, so you never ask God for wisdom. Or maybe you know, but you don't see that wisdom is something you need. Or maybe you don't even know what wisdom really is, because those are words we use, but those are words we never really define. We just expect that everybody knows them. But today we are going to look at this verse here, and it will teach us how does it look like to ask for wisdom? But first of all, let's define the word wisdom. See, there are many definitions of wisdom. Some would say that wisdom is being smart. It's how you use your knowledge according to your experience. One of the definitions that I've seen online says that wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. And that is a fair description of what we understand knowledge, what we understand wisdom to be. But when James talks about wisdom, he talks about something more profound than just being smart. The wisdom that James talks about is God's definition of wisdom. It's the true wisdom. So if you turn to chapter 3, verse 17, that's what you will see. So chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And this is true wisdom. True wisdom is first of all pure. And pure means the absence of anything false, filthy, or immoral. Pure is just like zero evil. And then wisdom is peace-loving, so zero desire for war or division. And then it's considerate, it's submissive, there's a bit of selflessness going on here. Then it's full of mercy and good fruit. So, you know, so it should lead to doing good. Then it's impartial, so that's being fair, treating people right. It's sincere, having one mind, zero hypocrisy. And this is true wisdom. See, it's more than just being smart and making the right moves. So you can do, it's also about having the right heart. Because you can do something good, but if you're only doing it for yourself, if you're doing it for the wrong motive, it's not really wisdom. Or you can know a lot of things. You can know what is right. You can know what is wrong. You can know all of this. But even if you notice and you fail to do what is right, this is not wisdom. True wisdom is the knowledge, the ability, the willingness of doing what is right in the eyes of God in all situations. So having wisdom means that if you have wisdom, we should do what is right. And that's what James say in chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. And that's what having wisdom does. It produces humility, a good life. And I'll ask my question. Is wisdom something worth asking God for? Yes or no? Yes, no, no, yes, no. Yes, of course. Because it seems pretty vital to the life of a Christian. And you see that true wisdom, this is the wisdom that God promises here in this verse. This is what God promises to give us if we ask him. So let's read this verse again. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And that is a promise. God gives wisdom to those who ask. So let's not be like me when I was at university, when I didn't ask for all the cool things I could get, but let's ask for wisdom. Because God gives wisdom, let's ask for wisdom. But But how does it look to ask for wisdom? Well, actually, in this verse that we are looking at today, we're going to see this in three steps. There is three steps that how it looks to truly ask God for wisdom. And the first one is this: to recognize that you are not that wise. Recognize that you are not that wise. See, asking for something starts by recognizing that there is, that you need that thing, that there is something that you miss. If you ever ask to start driving lessons with someone, you must have realized that you don't know how to drive or you don't have a driving license and you needed one, so you ask for a driving, some for driving lessons. So if you want to join, if you ask to join a gym, you probably realize that you needed some more fitness in your life. Or if you ask somebody for directions, you probably realize that you are lost, that you don't have enough information, you don't know where to go, so you need to know where to go. And asking wisdom is the same. Look at the verse again. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Asking God for wisdom starts with the realization that you lack wisdom, that you are not that wise. And if you think you have it, you won't ask for it. And when it comes to this, there is two dangers. One is to think that we are wise enough, and the other is to know that we are not that wise, that we are not wise enough, and being happy with it. Because as Christians, lacking wisdom is a very unhealthy thing. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So the Bible measures wisdom with the fear of God. They go together. Having true wisdom is connected with having the fear of God. So lacking wisdom and being okay with it means that we're not really fearing God. You know, sometimes we pray for wisdom. We say to people, "Yeah, I need wisdom," but deep inside, what we really think is, "Nah, I'm okay. I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. I share my faith at work. I teach my children that Jesus is the priority," and those are good things to do. But what if we do all of those things and at the same time we see nothing wrong with being hypocritical? So, for example, when at work your colleagues start to say bad stuff about your boss, and then you start to join the gossip. You come and then you just start to say bad names, all the bad names you can think about your boss. And then your boss arrives and out of the sudden you just become a very nice and polite person. Like, how much do you fear God in that moment? Or think about your conversation. How many lies do you allow people to believe? You see, maybe sometimes you find yourself telling a story in a way that will make you appear in a slightly better light. Or maybe you find yourself saying bad stuff about yourself so people can look at you and say, "Oh, this guy's quite humble." But deep inside you think, "I'm amazing, I'm pretty good." Or even sometimes the opposite. You know, you feel quite low, you feel like really bad, and people ask you, "Oh, how are you?" And you just respond, "Oh, I'm okay, I'm fine, thank you, I'm good." And so just so that people can think that you are healthy. And that's the question. At this moment, how much do you fear God? See, and those are things that we all fail at some point. And sometimes it's easier to join the gossip, to make bad jokes, just so that we're not the people killing the atmosphere. Or it's easier to tell a small lie just so that we don't look too bad and we can avoid trouble. And those things are things that might seem harmless, but actually they show that we fear people more than we fear God. Then we are following our own desires rather than doing God's will. And those are things that we do so casually. We don't fear God enough. We lack wisdom. And this is something that we need to recognize. See, we can't think, you know, it's okay, you know, we're not in heaven yet. I can't be perfect, I will be perfect once I'm in heaven. It doesn't matter. Because no matter how harmless it looks, it's not right. If we are people who love God, we cannot tolerate impurity. We cannot tolerate lack of wisdom within us. Because this is what Jesus came to deal with. He came to deal with wickedness. He came to deal with our lack of wisdom. Titus 2 verse 14 says that Jesus gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness. Jesus died so that we would be redeemed from all wickedness, big wickedness, small wickedness, and tolerating wickedness is not fearing God. And not fearing God is lacking wisdom, and that's not okay. And we need to recognize that. And that is the first step in truly asking God for wisdom. Recognize that you're not that wise. But once we've done this, once we've recognized that we are not that wise, well, we need to go where wisdom is from. See, when you realize that you are hungry, where do you go to? Like, do you go to the takeaway down the road? Do you go to the supermarket? Do you go to the fridge? Or do you go to the person who know that is going to make food for you? See, when we know that we need something, we go to the place where we can find that thing. And with wisdom, it's the same. Once we realize that we lack wisdom, we should go to where wisdom is from. And where's wisdom from? Well, look at our verse again. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. So if anyone recognizing that you are not that wise, these people, they should ask God. Because God is where wisdom comes from. God is the one to go to. And it's not within ourselves. It's not about trying hard to be wise. You know, like you just wake up in the morning and you decide, oh, you know what? Today I'm not going to gossip. Today I'm not going to lie. Today I'm going to treat everybody right. Like this, it's not going to work. Recognizing our lack of wisdom should make us go to God. See, God is the one who has wisdom, is the provider of wisdom. And then again, you might say, yes, God has wisdom, but what's the proof that he's going to give me wisdom each time I ask him? Because, you know, like, and that's true, because there are many people, like, who have money, and, you know, each time you need money, they're not going to give you money. That's fair. But God is not like that. Let's look at our verse again. So, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So God is a God who gives generously, and he gives without finding fault. You see, God won't say, you know, I gave you something once and you misuse it, so I'm not going to give you anymore. Don't bother asking. No, God provides for all. This is who God is. This is what God does. And if you recognize that you are not that wise, God is the one to go to. But don't get it wrong. Because when James say God, don't mix it up with what the world thinks God might be. You know, just some random force that you just mention whenever you feel like it. When James talks about God, he talks about the living God, the one and only true God, the Almighty, the Creator, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this promise of wisdom is for those who know him, who know the true God. It's not for those who ignore him. It's not for those who think that God is just a random force that you mention each time you feel like it. This promise is for those who have a relationship with the true living God. Is this you this evening? See, maybe you're here tonight and you don't know God. Like, you know about God. You say prayers with the hope that someone or something might hear your prayers. But you don't really know God personally. 1 John 5, verse 20 says, "The Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we might know him who is true. God has sent his Son into the world so that we can have understanding, so that we can have true wisdom, so that we can know the true God." So if you're here tonight and you don't know God, just accept Jesus Christ. By accepting Jesus Christ, you will know the one who gives wisdom, and you will be able to go to him for wisdom. Well, asking God for wisdom, what's the first step? The first step is that you recognize that you are not that wise. And once you have done that, go to where wisdom is from. And the third thing, the first step, what is, as you ask God for wisdom, we need to expect to receive wisdom. Do you guys know what's on the screen? What does KFC stand for? Who knows what KFC stands for? Abby? Kentucky Fried Chicken. What would you expect to get from KFC? Chicken, fried chicken, whatever it is. Well, one day when I was in Paris in my teenage years, I went all the way to the KFC, and in those days there were not many KFC in Paris, so it was a long way. So I went all the way there, and guess what happened? There was no chicken. Like, I would have never expected that I will go to KFC and there will be no chicken. Like, who goes to Kentucky Fried Chicken and expect no chicken? Well, if God is the source of wisdom, who goes to him for wisdom and doesn't expect to receive wisdom? Let's look at our verse again. So if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It will be given to you. When you ask God for wisdom, expect to receive wisdom. See, the verse doesn't say it might be given to you. It will possibly be given to you. It will be given to you if ... No, it says it will be given to you. It's a promise. When we ask the true God for the true wisdom, we should expect to receive wisdom. And I know that actually some people don't like that type of language. You know, some people are afraid of confidence. They'll say, like, how can you say I should expect to receive wisdom? But don't get it wrong. The confidence is not in me. The confidence is not in what I do. The confidence is on the word and the character of God. The confidence is on the fact that he has given Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, that's what it says about Jesus. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So because we are in Christ, we should expect to receive wisdom. And maybe you're here tonight, and you are praying for wisdom, but only because you hear people praying for it at prayer meetings and other places, but you don't expect to receive wisdom. And if this is you tonight, I just want you to pause and think about the seriousness about what this means. You see, we live in a culture where we confuse lack of confidence with humility. See, we make a lot of jokes about how bad we are at things, and that's funny. There is nothing wrong with this. But when it gets to the point, then we start to doubt God, that he affects the way we pray. There is definitely something not right with it. It's sinful. We need to repent of this. Why do we doubt? Well, the reason why we doubt is because we forget about God's promises. We forget that He is a God who gives generously without finding fault. See, we think it's all about us. Like if we don't do well, we shouldn't expect to receive. So we don't expect to receive when we ask. But the bigger reason is this. It's because there is something wrong with our hearts. So we fail to recognize that we lack wisdom. So we don't really ask for it. We don't even realize that we need wisdom. We don't know how far we are. And we cannot think that it's okay. We need to change. But let's remember that God is gracious. God's grace is much bigger than all our failures combined. God knowing us, knowing our heart, knowing our lack of wisdom, He has given us the gift of prayer so that we can ask for Him and He can give us wisdom as we ask Him. So how do we truly ask for wisdom? Well, first of all, recognize that you are not that wise. See, everything starts by seeing our lack of wisdom. And once you have done that, we should go to where wisdom is from. God is you should go to the one true God, to God who is generous, to the one who gives, and ask Him for wisdom. And when we ask Him, we should expect that He will give us wisdom. Because that's what I do. If He's the wisdom giver, we should expect it. That's a promise that we have in Christ. That's the promise of wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the precious promise of wisdom. We thank You for how generous You are, for how impartial You are. You are giving us good things and we don't deserve any of it. Father, we thank You that You give wisdom to those who ask. But Father, we are sorry for our lack of wisdom. We are sorry that we fail to do what is right in Your eyes. Father, because we fail to seek Your ways, we are not even aware of how much we lack wisdom. We are not aware of the dangers of lacking wisdom. Please forgive us, Lord. Father, please change our hearts. Please help us to see that we lack wisdom, that we need wisdom. And would that recognition of what we need, would that recognition lead us to go to You and ask You for wisdom? And when we ask, would we remember that You are the true God who gives generously, who keeps Your promises, the God who gave us Jesus, so that we will not doubt, so that we will not think that it's about us? Oh, Father, please, would You please use the preaching of Your word tonight to change all of us? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.